Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. We appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth Payne. We, like many of you, were up last night watching the Astros duel with the Atlanta Braves, stand in, toe-to-toe, Spencer Arrighetti pitching a little better this time around. And Seth, as I told you before the show, I kind of dozed off in the eighth inning a little bit. I was getting a little tired, you know, had to kind of plan out my sleep a little bit as I normally do because you and I have that early wake-up call. So I said, you know what, the eighth and the early part of the ninth inning, I'm just going to catch 15 minutes here, and then I'm going to catch the Astros, make a comeback here in the bottom of the ninth. And when I went to sleep, dozed off, it was 2-1, and I got up 15 minutes later, and it was 6-1.
Yes.
Last night.
Well, that's the I choose to think
hell
of
happens,
them these days.
Yeah.
It's the Astros plus hater.
Yeah,
that was hater is not officially an Astro yet. not with his 9+ ERA, not with his loading the bases, not with his letting the other team score every other time he's on the mound, and then certainly not when you take a 1-run game and turn it into a blowout win for the Braves. After Arrighetti comes in, look, Arrighetti, I think people probably feel pretty positive about. In a lot of parts, like, he would have been the story of the game, even though he wouldn't have gotten the win. The fact that he handled himself going into the third time through the rotation, had some battles with Acuna. Really, really nice performance, promising performance by Arrighetti. But Josh Hader, your high-priced closer, he's just not good. He hasn't been good. We'll see. I'd be incredibly surprised if he ends up being this bad the rest of the season. And yet, I don't have a lot of personal experience that helps me feel better about him.
Yeah, no, I don't either. No, I mean, he didn't blow the game. They would have lost the game 2-1. You know, whatever, if they didn't get any runs in the ninth. You know, he blew any chance they had of having a shot in the ninth inning when he came in and gave up whatever it was, 5 straight hits.
I don't even care. Like, Sean, I don't care if they're up by 5 at that point.
Up
by 7. What the hell is this? There's absolutely no faith or confidence.
Except
in
I would have said, why are you bringing him in up 7? That would have been the only thing I would have asked. That would have been an Espada issue instead of a
hater
issue.
Do I look like a person this morning who cares about whether or not it's considered a blown save or not?
No.
I worry about the fact that the dude is out there loading the bases up like it's his job.
This is bad.
Like he's been taking payoffs or something.
Yeah, this is bad. Like, this to me, and I know it's early. It's still April. Like, I know we're not even 20 games into the season yet, but he's had multiple outings, none as bad as the one statistically last night. But he's not been a hammer at all, other than maybe his first couple times he came in early in the season. He looked really good. Here's Joe Espada after the game. For those who missed it, Josh Hader came in the top of the ninth inning of a 2-1 game the Astros were losing, and next thing you know, it's 6-1. Gave up 5 straight hits. It was not good. Here was Joe Espada, Astros manager, last night saying, not worried about
him. He's getting after it. He, you know, just missing locations. But, you know, this stuff is pretty good. Just location behind the count, leadoff walk. But, you know, he's been successful for a very long time. Stuff will click.
The big reason for me, Seth, as I was kind of processing this morning, like there's the obvious one, like, okay, this is a 5-year deal. And again, I'm acknowledging it's early, but this is the reality we're in right now. Is Josh Hader stinks. And yeah. It's a 5-year deal. It's the first time Crane's given a 5-year deal to an outside free agent. So this is naturally going to, if this thing blows up in his face and he signed a lemon, who knows what this does to his proclivity of doing future signings like this, splurging like this. To me, though, put the contract aside, like the biggest negative with this one, as opposed to, say, the Abreu signing, is Abreu wasn't really displacing anybody at first base. I mean, I guess you could say Yuli. They didn't bring him back because they signed Abreu, but Yuli was on his last legs. This one, you shuffled the entire back end of your bullpen to bring this guy in. You had to sit down with Ryan Presley and Josh Hader and explain to them, as Joe Espada did, why you were doing this stuff. And I think it's fair to say, if we're going to sit here and say 18 games in, that Hader stinks, acknowledging things could change, I think it's fair to say, too, that the move to being a setup guy has affected Ryan Presley in some way.
Well,
he's been awful as well.
He's been awful. This is what...
a double whammy is what I'm saying.
It's tricky with Presley because, for one, I had a hard time with everybody just so casually outside of Houston saying, well, look at what the Astros did. Now they've got the best 7, 8, 9 in the league. And part of it is, Presley's being moved away from the closer for a reason, and an understandable one. He's 35 years old, and he's taken a decline. He took a decline last year that it wouldn't be as simple as, like, oh, yeah, now Presley. And moving away from closer, Presley's going to be as good as he ever was before. So I think it could be a combination of just natural aging plus, yeah, being bucked down from closer.
Yeah.
You know, this happens in primate studies, Sean. When you take the alpha in a chimpanzee group,
yeah,
and somehow just artificially move him out of the alpha position, oh, yeah, his actual testosterone drops. Like there's a physiological change. I feel like maybe Presley got the old alpha chimpanzee testosterone.
How do they
drop
know
here.
That? How do they know it? Did they bring him in and they test his blood and they're able to see his testosterone changes?
No, Sean. They ask him, "How does your testosterone feel today?" They test his blood, Sean.
Okay. It's just, yeah. I'm just picturing a gorilla walking into the, you know, the men's tea clinic and getting a syringe and
yeah. Gorilla walking into
being kind of sarcastic
into the what's the lab testing place there? Quest. Yeah. Walks into a Quest Diagnostics.
Yeah.
I've lost my position as CEO, and I was curious if you could take my testosterone.
Yeah. I know. I watched that gorilla. What was the gorilla documentary? Chimp Empire. Was it Chimp Empire? Yeah.
Which is a hell of a name for a gorilla.
I'm only asking because they never tested. I never watched them put the band around the arm and draw the blood from Alf or whatever the name of the alpha chimp was, you know? I never saw it happen on the documentary, so that's interesting. So the Astros, not good. Arrighetti, let's talk about the good stuff. So Arrighetti last night, here was Spencer Arrighetti last night on how he felt about his second start.
There's a lot to look back and be proud of. I feel like I made some good adjustments in between starts this time around. I definitely had some good days to work on things in between, so always a little bit of confidence there. I feel like I got accustomed to the environment a little bit more, and I made some big pitches tonight and some big situations that I'm really happy about. Obviously, I've gotten into some trouble in the second, but I think that I did a good job handling the best part of their lineup with some traffic, so I think there's definitely some positives.
Yeah, it was way better. It was way better. And he didn't, you know, the Jose Abreu didn't do him any favors by trying to stay on the bag on that Jeremy Pena bounce throw.
Yeah, Jeremy Pena had an error throw into first, and Jose Abreu, he tried to stay on the bag, didn't. So he went off of the bag to go get the ball, but didn't get the ball.
Right.
And it was just an absolute mess. And we're in such a state of affairs in Houston now that even though it was Pena's error, I think 99% of Astros fans were angry at Pena, and rightfully so in that moment, because he's just been, he's hapless there defensively as a first baseman.
Yeah.
If you're making, like, this is how bad the situation is with Abreu right now, Sean. We're talking about a first baseman and his fielding, and that, like, oh, if only this first baseman could be a better fielder, maybe it wouldn't be as bad. But like, no, even at first freaking base, he's got to be an issue there as well.
Yeah, like the easiest position. The position where in Moneyball, they just parked Scott Hatteberg. Remember that? Like in the movie Moneyball. Like, well, just play first base. You ever played before? Yeah. No, you can learn. It's first base. Like, what
the whole thing with Hatteberg was that, like, they were willing to accept that he was trash defensively for the first part of the season, and as he learned how to play first base because he had a bat, you know, because he was at least producing and getting on base or whatever. I can't remember his splits from April, May right off the top of my head, but I believe that Hatteberg was probably above a 100 batting average in those first couple
I did
months.
The old check on Abreu's batting average during the game last night. I'm like, man, it's 104. He's over 100. Like, it was after.
Oh, apologies.
Yeah. He was over. Yeah, well, during the game, he may have come up one more time, and now he's below 100. But you have the old Mendoza line at 200, and you got the Abreu line at 100. Those are the various lines here of different different batting averages.
I'm going to check Hatteberg's stats from 2002.
Okay.
Check out his splits. I guarantee you he was hitting better than 103.
Oh, jeez.
So as they moved him to first base.
You don't need to check.
Sean, this is the Scott Hatteberg podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Ben, get Hatteberg on the line, all right? Dig him up from wherever he is right now.
I would interview him, actually.
He's supposedly a delightful guy.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions. Yeah.
There's actually a good part in Moneyball, the book, where they talk about one of the things he enjoyed about playing first base after moving from catcher is that he got to chat with people.
Yeah.
And he brings up Bagwell and he liked talking to Bagwell about, like, he was trying to compliment Bagwell about just how good he was and everything. And Bagwell was always just completely self-deprecating, like, I suck. My swing is trash.
He's always like that. Yeah.
I know. It's old school. Yeah. Players used to hate themselves, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
Not like these new kids who are just in love with themselves and everybody.
Yeah.
There's all this self-esteem nonsense. Excellent Hall of Fame athletes used to despise themselves, and it drove them
to
great
heights,
okay?
Those are the days. I'm still trying to picture a doctor telling a gorilla to hold still while I put this syringe in. I just can't get past that.
I think there's tranquilizers involved. I'm still... How many times do you understand there's a difference between gorillas and chimpanzees?
Evidently not, no.
Do you really not?
I mean, I guess if I thought about it, I don't know.
Really? There's a huge difference.
Okay, I'm just anecdotally calling them the same thing. Am I racist right now? Am I being racist?
Yes, yeah, you're primatist. They all look alike to me. A chimpanzee, a gorilla, a spider monkey.
Okay, well,
do you accept that there's a difference between a spider monkey and a gorilla?
I guess so. I'm glad that you're standing on the wall for these guys right now. I'm sure they somewhere in the jungle appreciate it.
Sean,
like, what are we doing here?
Wait a second. No. This is like 4-year-old stuff. Like, you're looking through a little children's book, and the 4-year-old says gorilla, and then you go to the next one and it says,
I know
chimpanzee.
The difference. I'm just calling them the same thing.
So you're doing it like some people call any kind of soda Coke.
Yeah,
you call
a little bit.
You call any kind of non-human
a little bit, and
gorilla.
yet I am way more offended when people call all those different sodas Coke. I'm like, no, it says Coke on the label right here. Yeah,
it's no, because a gorilla is like the biggest and the baddest of them all.
Yeah.
So if you look at, there's got to be a cutoff line where if like a spider monkey, for instance, you wouldn't call that a gorilla.
Do you think I'm offending the gorillas by calling them, by saying chimp right now? Do you think I
wouldn't say it to his face.
Right, that's what
I
I'm saying. Well,
that.
if one walks down the hall into the studio, I'll start to worry about it.
What do we have in the studio yesterday? Garfield.
Garfield, yeah. So it's...
Was that, in your mind, was that the same thing as a tiger?
It was a dog, actually, yeah. They're just all animals, yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Astros lose last night, 6-1. Josh Hader, lemon alert right now. On Josh
gorilla.
Hader. Yeah.
Josh Hader, the gorilla.
Gorilla Josh Hader.
He's like he's in a gorilla suit out there. He might as well have been.
That's right.
He was no better than the dude on the train on Trading Places.
That's right. Now I want to watch Trading Places. All right.
Now that's a gorilla.
Stephon Diggs acquisition. Our first chance to hear from D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud on the newest Houston Texan. The story about how C.J. Stroud found out about the trade, I think, is very relatable to a lot of us, especially people who take naps. We will get to that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, with Diggs, adding him is one of those guys I talked about. He's been a great player in this league for a long time, well-respected. He's been a great teammate. He's been a leader, a captain. And when you look at him and you watch the tape and you put it on, you know, no one doubts the playmaker that he is, right? He changes games for the teams that he's been a part of, and we're anticipating the same thing for us.
That's interesting. That was D'Amico Ryans on Stephon Diggs. We're going to hear from C.J. Stroud in just a second. I'll be honest, I didn't know that he'd been a captain at some point during his career, and I think that's significant. Because look, the big concern with bringing Stephon Diggs in, Seth, is what could happen behind the scenes. I think very few people are concerned that he's washed as a player. I know his numbers were down the second half of last year, but if you watched the games, you can see he can still play. But I think the fact that he's got that gene in there somewhere, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He certainly hadn't been acting like a captain the last year and a half in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. But my guess is that D'Amico Ryans, and to a different extent, C.J. Stroud, but certainly D'Amico's the one, and Nick Caserio, who ultimately have to answer for bringing Stephon Diggs into the locker room. My guess is D'Amico is supremely confident that if that guy has that side of him in there, that that's the side he's going to bring out when he becomes a Houston Texan.
Right. And especially just for 1 year. I think that, you know, there's always that sliding scale of, you know, how much is a guy, what is he like normally under pristine circumstances versus how is he when things get a little bit tough. And, you know, mind you, like, this is a team that he was playing for a team last year that played the Chiefs to the brink in the playoffs. So, and he himself, like, Stephon Diggs was the problem in that game, one of the problems in that game. He had two fumbles, or two drop passes and a fumble, and a drop pass at the end that was very catchable and likely would have been a touchdown, or at least set up a touchdown. So, like, it wasn't like it was rough in Buffalo. That was a good football team. That's the only thing that makes me nervous, is that he was a problem child on a really good football team. So it's not, I think the sliding scale for Stephon Diggs, there's less room for error, but when it's a 1 year deal, then so be it. I think the other part about Diggs though too is, I believe DJ Bienemé asked him yesterday about the drop off, asked D'Amico about the drop off in his production last year. That part 100% I think was all Joe Brady, the new offensive coordinator who took over in week 11 last year, trying to make Josh Allen and that offense into just a more professional quarterback and offense where you distribute the ball. And then ideally what happens is in the playoffs, when you go to Stephon Diggs, you've got more opportunity for explosive plays because people can't fixate on him. And that is what was happening. That's what happened in that Chiefs game in the playoffs. Stephon Diggs had it. He had it. Yeah. He was wide. He was open down the field. And that just so the skill is still there. The playmaking ability is 100% still there. It was that the Bills were just trying to spread the ball around more, make a conscious decision to do that. CJ's already there at that part where he's making the conscious decision to spread the ball around. He already was all the way through his rookie season. So I don't worry about it. I don't think we should get fixated on, you know, how many yards people get, because it's impossible to say. It's just impossible to say. It's going to be a game plan by game plan thing and a quarter by quarter scenario. Who gets the ball most based on basically who is the defense neglected on any given
totally,
play?
Totally, yeah. That dude was leading the league in receiving halfway through the season last year.
That's the key. No, he was on pace for like 1,600 yards, yeah. And there wasn't a discernible physical drop-off. There wasn't an injury or something that sparked it. It was completely and totally a change in offensive coordinator and a change in scheme, more so than anything else.
Yep. D'Amico Ryans asked the question. Yes, was asked the question yesterday. Hey, you already got Nico. You already got Tank. Why adding Diggs to the mix?
I don't think it hurts to add a lot of playmakers to your team. So as many guys as you can add, we're trying to add as many playmakers as we can, offensively, defensively. Right? We're trying to build the best team for 2024, and that's what myself and Nick. That's what our job is, to add the right pieces, acquire the right players to help have us go out and be our best in 2024.
I think it was Florio that called this a luxury purchase by the Texans in bringing in Diggs. And I know a lot of people were clamoring and wanted the Texans to still sign another receiver, trade for Keenan Allen, whatever it might be, T. Higgins. I think it is important to point out that it's not typical. Like, I think that if you thought, like, well, if Caserio doesn't sign a third receiver, then he's a bum. Like, you're out of line, honestly, because it's very, as we went through the other day, there's very few teams that have three really good receivers at the top of their depth chart. It doesn't work that way in the NFL. It's not the way teams choose to build, and they don't feel desperate if their third guy isn't an awesome wide receiver as well. So they are very much like doubling down on having strength at the wide receiver position, which is fascinating because you've got this defensive-minded head coach that a lot of people were concerned and wondered whether, like, oh, well, can they actually do it? Man, I don't know. They're trying like hell to give Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud everything they can to really be genuinely explosive, which is exciting.
Yeah. Well, and I would add to it, not just a defensive coach, but a GM who comes from a place where, you know, that this was not normal. Like, Randy Moss was the one, like, time they splurged for a big-time wide receiver and brought him in. Other than that, it was Tom Brady, you know, dinking and dunking to a bunch of, you know, to a bunch of average guys.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Yeah, for all like
on
his
both
whiny,
fronts.
If Aaron Rodgers had played for New England with the way that they treated the offense, Aaron Rodgers would have been besides himself with rage, as he also bragged about his ego being dead. He would have thought it was the worst thing in the world that they just didn't help him out on offense. Which that's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what they did in New England forever. There are a few things that Caserio has done that are decidedly non-New England.
Yeah.
One of which is like the draft strategy has been way different than how Belichick has typically operated it. Like Texans don't go for any small school guys at all compared to Belichick, who's in love with small school guys. And then, yeah, I think spending on offense and spending on wide receivers specifically is not something that they like to blow draft picks on wide receivers.
They do.
They didn't want to spend on them.
Right. Here's C.J. Stroud yesterday. C.J. met with the media. Will Anderson met with the media. We'll hear from Will a little bit later. That's always fun. Here is, I think it's a very relatable story, very relatable these days, when a lot of times the first thing I know I do is pick, you know, I wake up, I'm groggy. First thing I do, look at my phone, see who texted or whatever. Here was C.J. Stroud on how he found out about the Stephon Diggs trade.
I found out I was actually asleep. I was asleep. I've only been in the West Coast. I've been back home in L.A., so I was knocked out, and I keep my phone on do not disturb. I get a lot of phone calls, and so I didn't really know. And I woke up, and my boy Chase B texted me. He's like, "How you feeling, bro?" And I'm good, fam. How are you? And so like, and then I had sent like five texts like that, and then I woke up for real. This I was kind of like halfway texting in the bed.
woke up, brushed my teeth, washed my face, you know. And then I seen the news, and I seen it on like Instagram. I'm like, oh shoot, that's what they talking about. So I didn't even tell Chase B or anybody like that. That was what I was implying, which is really just checking. I thought he was checking up on me, but it was cool. You know, it was really fun to see that. And this past, no, I mean this last year, I didn't have the opportunity to go before OTAs and have guys come out. I'll probably do something again. Hopefully after OTAs, but that was just like, hey man, I'm up here throwing, like you guys want to come down? And man, it went great though. Like Mitch really like looks amazing. He looks really, really all the way back, you know. And then Tank looks great, and so did Diggs and a couple other guys who came out.
Yeah, liked hearing that about Mechie. I wonder if he knew this was at all, that this was coming, you know?
Because he didn't know that he was going to get drafted by the Texans.
Right.
Until he got drafted by the Texans, which obviously he didn't know anything about. That's a whole different scenario. But I think that I doubt he did, just because I think Nick moves pretty fluidly. You know, it's not like they had set their sights on Stephon Diggs and Stephon Diggs alone. It was just several days earlier they'd had their eyes set on Keenan Allen. And yeah. I don't know, like when all these different calls are happening and whatnot. And remember, the serious call to the Bills wasn't made until Tuesday. And, yeah. You know, we're working on, by the way, I admire, it wasn't clear whether it was Chase B, his friend, who's a producer and DJ in Houston. It wasn't clear if it was Chase B that had texted him five times or if it was like various other people.
Oh, I assumed it was various other people is what I assumed.
I wonder, I would admire Chase B if Chase B managed to text him five times, but without offering like the actual clarity
as
to what it was. Like just kind of wanted to let CJ discover it on his own.
Let it marinate a little bit. Yeah.
It would have been 8 a.m. local time. Or right. Local Pacific time.
Oh, when the trade went down. That's right, because it came down right at the end of our show. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll always remember that. That's one of my where were you when moments.
Right.
I will always remember 9:59 a.m. Lopez came in and taunted us with the news that the Texans had traded for Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Figgy cut my mic off. I'll never forget that.
Yep. That's where I was. The OJ chase and the old mic cut off. I give CJ, CJ, that might be the biggest example of how calm he is. If I had five texts from people, different people saying, are you okay? Like, how you doing? You know, like, hey, how you feeling or whatever? That'd be hard for me to go right back to sleep again.
This is, I gotta talk to Meltzer about this, because this is classically the way Mike Meltzer would have broken something to me like this. Is Mike has this habit of, if something happens in the news or something, all he'll do is text you the name.
Yeah.
So, like, he would have texted me, Diggs! Exclamation point. And yeah. I'd be like, what? Okay, what? And then I'd have to... And then you got to go Google. I got to go do research to reply to a Meltzer text.
Yep.
And I would have discovered it that way. So yeah. I feel like that's... Well, and that is what happened to CJ. Didn't realize that's what he was supposed to be
doing. How you doing?
He said the news, and then he clarified, like, Instagram. That's how we get our news. I also like that, like every Zoomer, and I think increasingly almost everybody of any age group, he keeps his phone on Do Not Disturb. The kids these days, they are not going to get your phone call.
Yeah.
It's on Do Not Disturb. They don't want to mess up their flow or anything, so they just, it's on silent. They'll see it when they get to it.
There you go.
Sean, do you remember what it was like when you had to, when you were stuck with your landline and the only recourse you had was to, like you were going to get a 2 a.m. call at some point?
Take the phone off the hook was the only recourse, right? Like
I never understood that. It always bothered me, like even as I was walking away and I heard that, nang, 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 nang,
oh,
nang,
yeah,
nang.
That's right. What did it do? How did it go? Okay, good enough. let's get one more from CJ Stroud in here. What does Stephon Diggs bring to the offense?
He has a ton of value, you know, to that room. There's a lot of a wisdom that he carries that I think he'll spread to the other guys, and you know, he's been really reaching out to really everybody, you know, and I think that whole room in general is going to be great. I think we're all going to eat off each other. You know, it's going to be very fun and very exciting, you know, just to work with everybody in that room. And I'm very excited for it.
Me too. I'm looking at the list here that you and I went through last week of the number three wide receivers on what are largely believed to be the best wide receiving cores in the league.
Yeah.
And whereas the Texans' third wide receiver is, we'll call it Tank Dell, the other ones had Tutu Atwell, Devontae Parker, Trey Palmer, the Irwin, the bearded, mulleted Irwin kid from the Bengals.
Oh, not our listener, Irvin.
No, not Irwin, our listener.
Irwin, I mean, excuse
no,
me.
No, yeah. No, yeah. Braxton Berrios.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they Traylon Burks. So
we got Tank Dell. Burks is a third receiver. A.J. Brown's. Wow. Okay.
No, DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley are the top two there.
No, I know. I'm saying A.J. Brown's replacement is now the third best receiver.
The guy they picked. The guy they picked with the A.J. Brown pick. Yeah. It's not everybody's Justin Jefferson, man. Like, it doesn't always just work. You know?
Hey, why bother? Why mess around with this guy? Sure, our entire system is predicated on setting up deep shots to A.J. Brown. Let's trade away that dude.
Trade him away.
Yes, and then we'll get rid of Derrick Brown. Derrick Henry for no good reason, yeah. Really, other than that it's time to move on. Let's take a washed up Dallas Cowboys has-been.
Man. Text message. Or you could have simply unplugged the phone cord from the wall. Thank you. Applicable in 1992. We appreciate that very much. All right, headlines. Let's get to headlines next.
This is the problem, though, is what I'm going to tell this person. The problem with unplugging the problem was your only way of getting urgent news was through the telephone.
Yeah, that's true.
So unplug. It wasn't as simple to just unplug the phone line, because if there were a genuine emergency, how would people get through to you?
Yeah.
You know, there's no filter on your phone like there is on your cell phone where you can have a do not disturb except for your mom and whomever else.
Yep, yep. We didn't sleep as well back in the day.
Your mom and your side chick.
That's it. Okay. Your Kumar. headlines. Astros lose. We'll hear more from D'Amico Ryans. And a whole lot more to get to here as we roll on a Tuesday, Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Astros. They their two-game winning streak is kaput. It's over. They lose to the Braves last night. Yep, it's true. It's a good game. It got out of hand in the ninth inning because Josh Hader came in and completely wet the bed. But it was 2-1 for most of the night. This was a fun game to watch. Spencer Arrighetti, we'll get to the good news first. Spencer Arrighetti, much better in his second outing than he was his first outing. He did take the loss, gave up a couple of runs in the second, got a bunch of guys to two strikes in this thing and just couldn't put them away.
Yeah, he had some good counts going. I mean, this could have gone either way, this game. I mean, he was just in a... He was in a lot of trouble in the second inning, got himself out of it. I was really impressed with the fact that he came back from that and lasted through the fourth inning,
because
he really got in a lot of trouble. But it also easily could have been a dominant performance if he had just been able to capitalize on some of those counts that they got up on.
Yep. 39 pitches, I believe, in the second inning. So he was not long for that game, but the four innings were definite progress. His next start's probably going to be against Washington this weekend, I would imagine. So that'll be a step down in weight class. We'll see. Let's get to real quick, Seth. Joe Espada on Spencer Arrighetti.
I thought he threw the ball, you know, good enough to get us through the fifth. But yeah, he didn't finish a few hitters off. We didn't make a few plays behind him. But I thought he was in the zone. His stuff was pretty good today. I thought he threw the ball, you know, good enough to at least get us like five innings. But, you know, it didn't work out the way we wanted to.
So, yeah, the second inning, that's what Espada's referring to there. Pena made a nice play behind the bag on what would have been the third out, right? But he intentionally bounced the throw to Abreu, but it was offline, And Abreu kind of got caught in no man's land trying to stay on the bag and also trying to field the ball and ultimately did neither. And the ball skipped away. The first run scored. And then the next batter up was Acuna, who Arrigetti, I mean, they went about 10 pitches in this battle between the two of them. And ultimately Acuna gets on base. And the Braves end up scoring another run. They end up winning 6-1. So, but Arrigetti, I would say, you know, based on expectations last night, I would say a thumbs up performance for Arrigetti.
Yeah, thumbs up there. And for a guy that hasn't had that many appearances above Double A, especially, like showed a lot of poise, comfort, or confidence. Like there's a lot to be positive about with that. Once Verlander comes back, if it's sooner than later, it might be a while before we see Arrigetti.
That's just true.
They have a lot of off days. They can't keep a six-man rotation through this next stretch because they got like four off days in 2 or 3 weeks. So, like, it might be the perfect dose as opposed to all these other guys that have been brought up. It's been just a disaster. This might be like the perfect measure of a little bit of MLB experience. Go down and sharpen a little bit that much more. And when we see him again, I feel like this guy might end up being another positive Astros pitching story.
He may be. Good point about Verlander. Verlander, and we're going to hear from Verlander later in the show, but the expectation is he's going to come back this weekend on Friday against Washington. So, yeah, Arrigetti may be the associated move with bringing him back. Now, that said, I need to see what Hunter Brown and J.P. France look like the next 2 days before I write anything in stone having to do with the back end of this rotation, anything. The
biggest insult yesterday, by the way, was Guillorme playing shortstop. Have you ever seen a shortstop that pudgy in your life?
No, he caught a pop up behind the shortstop spot there. I'm like, God, were they in a shift?
Why is the catcher?
How did he get his chest protector off so quickly? The other story from this game was Josh Hader. He was abysmal last night. He came in with the Astros trailing 2-1, came in the ninth to close things out and give the Astros a chance to maybe win it in the ninth inning or extras, and instead the game just unraveled on Josh Hader. Didn't make it out of the ninth inning. They end up losing 6-1, but Joe Espada says not worried about Josh Hader.
He's getting after it. He, you know, just missing locations, but you know, this stuff is pretty good. Just location behind the count, leadoff walk. But, you know, he's been successful for a very long time. Stuff will click.
Yeah, this is the problem with Hader. If you want the deep dive pitch shaping analysis and all that crap,
give it to me.
He's not getting as much horizontal movement on his slider as he used to. And it's been a steady degradation over the past few years. But I think that this year, he might have a little bit of the Javier disease from last year. When Javier and Framber were both... No, it was Framber more, right? They was throwing Framber harder and not getting as much movement
his
on his
sinker.
Pitches.
Yeah, his sinker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wonder if Hader is just a little too amped up in a new circumstance, and he just needs to relax and let everything.
Dude,
come
I to hope him. I hope the case is that he's throwing too hard and that there's not, a drop in how hard he's throwing. So it's problematic. We'll talk more about that about Hader later in the show. But the bottom line is the Astros lose 6-1 to the Braves last night. Back at it tonight. Big start for Hunter Brown tonight. And by the way, C.J. Stroud threw out the first pitch last night. What did you think of C.J. Stroud's first pitch, Seth? Right down the middle.
I feel like he was going for accuracy, and in doing so, he kind of had a dart throwing motion.
Yeah.
More so than a classic. And I also think, because I know that a lot of people noticed that his pitching motion didn't look as sweet and smooth and perfect as his football throwing motion.
Yes.
I think he was probably also just trying to protect his UCL. He understands that, you know, he doesn't want to put his elbow way out to the side and risk Tommy John surgery throwing out a ceremonial first pitch at a baseball game.
I'll be honest, I was surprised at his throwing motion. It was effective. Yeah. It got over the plate, but I'm like, okay. He threw the ball. This is not shade at all. CJ Stroud's obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He threw the ball a lot like basketball players throw a first pitch, honestly. Which is funny because basketball is his self-professed first love. So, the throwing motion was very basketball-like. The end result was nothing like John Wall or many of the other basketball players who've gone to
No, 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 yeah.
Texans.
They,
back.
Who was the catcher, by the way? I didn't say it. I saw J.C. Hartman's first pitch because they had two ceremonial first pitches.
It was John Singleton.
It was John Singleton for both of them, too, because John Singleton came out and
he was a catcher.
It was a nice thing. Well, it was for, you know, in honor of Jackie Robinson, too. It was probably a nice moment for CJ to be out there in that same circuit. It's a nice, special day to do it.
Absolutely. Texans back in the building. D'Amico Ryans was asked about, hey, this year you guys are going to be the hunted. Last year you were the hunter. This year you got the target on your back. How's that going to feel?
I appreciate the question, but we're always hunting. That doesn't change for us. We're always hunting. Expectations on the outside, whatever that may be, it really doesn't change who we are, right? The expectations from the outside don't permeate inside our building, and now we have to change what we're doing just because of outside expectations. It really doesn't matter. My message, our focus as a team is, it's always been consistent, the same as it was last year, is, man, you show up and we continue to get better every single day. You're the best at your position. You're the best for our team. Then that's what wins games, right, for us, when everybody is really striving, putting the work in, right, to be better. And that's what it's all about. We don't care about expectations. Talk doesn't win games. We have to go out and play good football when that time comes.
I think that D'Amico does a good job of finding that balance. I think every coach has to find that balance where you want your players to be confident, but every now and then you got to convince them that they suck a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it depends on who your people are. So, like, I feel like with C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson being very young but very much the leaders of this team, those guys are both kind of wired that, yeah, they're not gonna get ahead of themselves, and I don't think either of those guys feel like they've genuinely accomplished anything yet. So there's a hunger in them. It's like, and when those are the guys who are your place setters, I don't think you have to worry about putting the cart ahead of the horse and that guys are going to feel like they've arrived already. Whereas some other teams, sometimes you gotta really demonstrate to them, like, hey, by the way, you guys did get your asses destroyed by the Ravens, okay? There's some work left to be done.
It's interesting. We're going to hear from Will. In fact, let's do that in the next segment here. Will Anderson was asked about expectations and gave damn near a carbon copy of D'Amico Ryan's answer. If you're wondering if the message is filtering down to the team, it's definitely filtering down to at least Will Anderson. We know that for sure because he met with the media yesterday. We'll hear from that. And what he had to say, Will Anderson, about the culture in the building now, I can't, like a year ago, if you thought you would have heard a Texan saying what Will Anderson said yesterday. We'll hear from him coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.